still out. This is what, day number three. Do you remember how long it took to deliberate for O.J. Simpson?
No.
Guess. What do you think it was? Was it a long time, short time?
Let me think back to that time. I mean, the trial went on forever.
For 8 months.
Maybe it wasn't that long. I mean, the trial seemed to go on forever, but maybe it wasn't that long they were
deliberating. The jury deliberated for 4 hours. Four.
Wow, really?
Hours. Mm-hmm. 8 months, 4 hour deliberation. This is going on for 3 days. Now, there has been a call for a mistrial now, and because I was wrapped up in the special yesterday, I don't really understand what's going on. It's about revolving around a video, but we thought we would get Nick Riccata back on. He's the host of the podcast Riccata Law, and you can find that on YouTube. He has been watching this along with his panel the whole time. Can you bring me up to speed, Nick? What's going on?
Yeah, Glenn. First, thanks for having me back on. Really
sure.
Appreciate it. What's been going on is, I'll categorize it this way, what I would consider a miscarriage of justice by the state attorneys in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Attorneys Binger and Krause have been, frankly, it appears, violating Kyle Rittenhouse's constitutional rights from jump. And the particular motions for mistrial, there are actually two outstanding motions for mistrial. One of them is with prejudice, and that's based on these constitutional violations. The other one is for a motion for mistrial without prejudice that was raised orally by Corey Schiraffisi yesterday. And they both kind of revolve around this drone footage. The drone footage was a piece of surprise evidence that was introduced on Friday after the trial had started. So we'd already been going for, 4 or 5 days. They get this piece of drone footage, and it has become the linchpin of the case for the state, saying that Kyle Rittenhouse raised his gun at Joshua Zeminski, and that constitutes provocation, which would defeat or impair his self-defense claim. So the problem is this footage, which came in, and now we have allegations, and they appear to be true, that the state provided a lower resolution copy of this drone footage to the defense when they did their discovery disclosures. And so the defense is operating on less information in preparing their case. And they only got the full res version after the introduction of evidence was done, and they were arguing over jury instructions.
Okay, so hold it just a second. Mm. So the jury saw this in 4K.
Yeah.
And the defense never had seen it in 4K.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Technically, they saw it in 844p resolution, and the defense had a 212p resolution copy.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Like the resolution of a 1998 cell phone screen.
So wait a minute. Wow. So what did they not see in that copy with such low resolution?
What you can't see from the low res or the high res copy, in my opinion, is Kyle Rittenhouse raising his gun. But the state says from the high res copy, which they then had the forensic crime lab enhance and enlarge images from, they say you can see Kyle Rittenhouse raise his gun, which would be that provocation, which would lead to the defeat of the self-defense claim. But when the defense, if you look at it, I think it's 1/16th the resolution is what we're talking about here. You can't see anything but tiny little blobs. And it's important to realize that where Kyle Rittenhouse is in the video, on the defense's video, he's probably only 10 or 11 pixels high. I mean, it's a tiny fraction of the screen because he's very far away from where the drone is at the time they allege he raised his gun.
Okay, so the judge is allowing the drone footage to be reviewed by the jury?
Correct.
In the jury room?
They had to come down to the courtroom for that specific piece. The rest of the footage they have been allowed to, that they've requested so far, they have been allowed to review in the jury room on a sanitized laptop. that only has basically a media player and the files that they're looking to review. But the drone footage, they cleared out the courtroom. They shut down all the technology that was in there. They had bailiffs check all of the benches and make sure no one like left a phone recording or whatever. And the jury came in, and everybody but the jury and one bailiff were cleared out so that they could review that footage on a large screen TV.
Why did they have to go down? Just because of the large screen TV?
It's technically Wisconsin law. And this is the interesting thing. There was a large argument over whether or not the jury could have the video, the unfettered access to the videos yesterday. There was also a previous argument in which the state said that allowing them unfettered access to videos, the state agreed would be reversible error. But then they changed their tune because they really want this drone video to be reviewed. Now, the judge does not agree with that law, and he's inclined to allow them to have unfettered access. But he's been playing pretty careful in this case. And so I guess that's why he allowed the drone footage to be reviewed, but only in the courtroom, whereas the other footage is not. And there's a legal dispute over where that is. The case law isn't fully clear, but they had agreed a couple days before. Now they're changing their tune.
So will the case, do you think, be dismissed? Is this headed for a mistrial?
Glenn, it really should be. And one of the frustrations I've had, and this is a personal opinion, and several of the members on my panel have carried this same opinion, but I don't speak for everybody, of course, but I feel like the defense is not pushing hard enough on this issue. We've seen a level of passivity from the defense on this, where it seems like the judge is ready to grant a mistrial, either with or without prejudice. It kind of depends on the arguments that follow, but it almost feels like he's waiting for the defense to just push over the edge, the question. They keep raising the question, and then the state will kind of filibuster and talk and talk and talk. And if any of your listeners out there want a really fascinating approach to BS, you can go listen to the Assistant District Attorney Krause give his explanation for how they sent a compressed video and they kept the full video yesterday. It was phenomenal. It reminded me of the scene in Chicago, given the razzle dazzle.
Wow.
It feels like the judge is just waiting for the defense to stand up and advocate for their client and say, no, judge, this needs to happen. Our client has been prejudiced, and this is irreparable, at least in this case, but we would say forever.
Why do you say, why do you think they're not doing this?
I don't know. My best guess and my most deferential guess is that they have taken an approach that Mark Richards laid out the other day that said, judge, we've had nothing to hide. We've disclosed everything. And they have not been objecting to the introduction of evidence. They've been allowing everything to come out. In fact, they put Kyle on the stand, which was a controversial decision. Yeah. In a criminal defense case. And so they have taken the approach of, we have nothing to hide, and they've made compelling arguments to the jury about that. But I feel like it's part of their grand strategy to kind of let this play out. I think they think the judge really wants this to be decided by the jury.
I think he does. What is it that they're asking for besides this footage? Do you have any indication? I mean, my gut tells me that there's just a couple of holdouts that will not compromise. And they're like, nope, guilty. And because it seems like such an open and shut case. What they've been asking for, what does it tell you?
I think I agree with you. I think that's what it tells me as well, is it seems like there are largely people who would say not guilty, and a couple holdouts. And we've had some unconfirmed sort of reports coming in, about 2 to 3 people who have raised concerns. And it seems like, there may be those people just hanging on, and that's your right as a juror to do.
Sure.
No one can force you to vote one way or another. But with those holdouts, the question is, are they requesting the videos as like a delay tactic to try and convince somebody else or reinforce their their position that they're not going to change? Or is it the big group of people trying to convince a small group? And we don't really know. At first, they didn't ask specifically for the drone footage, but then, you know, later that day they did. And this is the problem with the drone footage and why I think the judge needs to resolve this via mistrial, is because even the doubt that they had and the delay that they had in providing that drone footage, it makes the jury ask questions. Well, why do they need to talk about it, right? This is in evidence. We watched it. Why do they need to talk about this drone footage? To me, the entire thing needs to be either mistrial without prejudice and redone, or mistrial and canceled forever, which is what I would prefer.
What do you mean that they would ask, why did they have to talk about this? What questions would that bring up?
Well, so the jury sends a request to the court to review a particular piece of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And when they there was a significant delay between that request happening and the judge had to have a conversation with the attorneys about whether or not this drone footage was going to be shown to the jury. And so to me, if I ask a question early in the day and I get a response quickly, or if I ask a question later in the day and it takes me, 2 hours to get a response, what's the difference? What has happened? Why am I going down to a courtroom for this video, but I'm stuck? I get the other videos brought to me in the deliberation room.
What do you think that, who does that play towards? The defense or the prosecution?
That I can't know. Just because I don't know the actual minds of the jury, but it just says to me, no matter where they are, a juror is going to ask extra questions about this evidence. And with the drone footage, I think the evidence in the drone footage itself is prejudicial in the way it was brought to the court, in the way it was argued in front of the court. They're going to be looking at this footage more and more. And there's that idea that if you keep seeing the same thing, looking for something, you'll eventually find it.
Nick Riceta from Riceta Law. You can find that on youtube.com/Riceta Law. Thank you so much, Nick. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you.
God bless.
Thanks for having me back.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. Hopefully we'll talk soon. Hopefully there will be a verdict soon.
That's an interesting thing, though, because in a way,